Her older son, Thomas, on the other hand, was 14 now, a serious boy who already shared his father's sorrow and anger over what Mother Church had become. He was his uncle's nephew as well, however. Like Howard, he'd been headed for a career in the Temple Guard, and despite his youth, he was a skilled swordsman and an excellent shot, whether with a matchlock musket, an arbalest, or a standard bow. He was also fiercely protective of his mother, and he'd flatly refused to join his younger brother and sister in hiding. Truth to tell, Lisbeth hadn't tried all that hard to convince him to do so. Partly because she recognized his father's son and knew a futile endeavor when she saw one. But mostly because, as much as she trusted Angelic, and as effective as Angelic had always proved herself to be, Lisbeth hadn't quite been able to bring herself to put all of her eggs in one basket, which was also the reason Angelic had made completely different arrangements to whisk Lisbeth's oldest daughter, well, stepdaughter, technically, although she was the only mother Erace had ever actually known, and her husband and son out from under the Inquisition's nose. Lisbeth suspected that her own willingness to come to Zion had been a factor in Angelic's ability to do just that. She'd been so clearly willing to walk directly into the spider's web that the Inquisition's vigilance over Sir Fraymon Jardot and his wife and daughter had lapsed at least a little. She'd rejoiced in quiet, fervent gratitude when Angelic got her word that Fraymon, Erace, and young Samuel had made good their escape, at least for the present. But now, under a wind-polished sky of frozen blue, as she made her way along an icy sidewalk, half blocked by overnight snowdrifts, their centers trampled down by the feet of earlier traffic, she felt the familiar weight of despair. Not for her own safety, and not really for the safety of her children and grandchild, although that was a much sharper, more bitter-edged anxiety than any she might feel for herself. She had no intention of becoming careless, yet she'd come to the conclusion that if the Inquisition had been going to find her or her children, they'd have done so by now. No, the despair she... for the friends and trusted colleagues who'd given him their allegiance and their assistance, and who were going to share in his agonizing death when the moment came. "It's not as if he tricked or deceived any of them into supporting him," she thought, hugging herself more tightly under her poncho as the keen-toothed wind whistled between the tenements on either side of the street. "All of them were as angry and determined as he was, and all of them knew this could happen. Yet to know it is going to happen, that someone like that greedy, bloody-minded bastard Clinton is going to win after all." Lisbeth had no way of knowing how her own thoughts, her own anger at God for allowing this to happen, if she had known, it wouldn't have surprised her. She'd known Howard as long as she'd known Samuel, and in many ways, she and Howard were more alike than she and Samuel, which was, probably, the reason she'd been so much more strongly attracted to Samuel from the very beginning than she'd ever been drawn to Howard, as a husband and a lover, at least. As a brother-in-law, he'd always been her favorite. Dearer to her, in fact, though she would never have admitted it, than either of her birth brothers. There was a reason she'd been so content to see Thomas taking so strongly after his uncle, for she couldn't imagine a better pattern he could have chosen for himself. She reached the corner where Harriman Street met Market Street, halfway between her cheap, spartanly furnished tenement apartment and Zion's third largest market, and glanced across the street at the milliners. She didn't even pause as she turned the corner, and her stride never hesitated, but her eyes first widened, then narrowed, as she saw the shop window. A bolt of blue fabric, steel thistle silk, she thought, was displayed in that window, and the shop's coal heaver must have spilled a couple of large lumps of coal just on the other side of the barred delivery gate when he made the morning's delivery. Someone had spilled them there, at least. Lisbet could see the glittering black chunks, starkly visible against the dirty snow, just far enough inside the gate that none of the city's desperate poor could glean them. It took only a single glance to note the silk and the coal, and she bent her head a little more deeply as she found herself walking directly into the wind now. She would continue to the market, she thought. It was Shantahal's regular shopping day, and she would chaffer for the ruinously expensive potatoes and winter woody carrots she'd come to purchase. She might even pick up a few onions, assuming they weren't too pricey this late in the winter, before she headed back to her tenement once more. Whatever she did, however, she would give no sign and no indication at all that she'd seen that blue silk or those lumps of coal. That she'd recognized in them Angelic's warning to be ready to move on an instant's notice.